such a nice surprise a few weeks ago when Kathy surprised me on the 34th anniversary of my ordination with flowers in church. Ever since then, I have been looking back, that is all that has happened to my life and my ministry. Anniversaries are times to look back, to reflect, and I've been doing a lot of that lately. And I realized the wonderful opportunities that I have had as a minister. The blessed moments of joy I have been able to share with people because of my position. The adoption or the birth of a child. The joy and the excitement of new love. As I think back, I realize how much sadness and heartbreak there has been too. Tragic moments in people's lives. Times of death and illness. And in the midst of all that, my calling was to offer the comfort, the presence, the love of God. That has not always been easy. I have struggled with God to find words for a mother who has just lost her child to sudden infant death. I struggled with God on what to do and what to say to a pregnant 23-year-old whose husband was just killed in one of the planes on 9/11. There have been many struggles, both inside me and in my work. My experiences of the last 34 years drew me this morning to a very famous story of Jacob. You see, Jacob was a guy who had the makings of a wrestler. He was focused, he was self-confident, he was cunning, and he was supremely goal-oriented. He had not always manifested the more positive side of his character, however. Even his name, Jacob, meant cheater or grabber. For he was born holding on to his older brother's heel. The experiences of his life thus far were marked with things like deceit and trickery. As he fled his brother and was now fleeing his father-in-law, his brother and his company once again waited ahead of him, and Jacob was left all alone to wrestle. But with whom or with what? Somehow, Jacob is forced to wrestle with his relationship to his brother and to his past. In the course of his struggle, he begins to understand that the one who has forced him to look deep inside is nothing mortal. And he wrestles all the harder. "I will not let you go," he declares, "unless you bless me." Jacob wrestles with himself. But in the process, he's wrestling with God. If we are to really grow, to really become complete human beings, there must come a time when each of us becomes a wrestler like Jacob. As Jacob wrestles, he's transformed. His determination to be blessed, to be in a right relationship with God and with other people, changes him from the inside out. Jacob struggles with God and the mystery of life. But we have to also see in this story that God is striving with Jacob, as God strives with all of us. God wants us to know that God is present with us, that we're invited to a relationship that will bring our spirits into the closest possible union with God. We must not forget that God strives with us, and even the new name Jacob is given. Israel means God strives. Jacob has changed from cheater to the one with whom God strives. His new name signals a new attitude and a new approach to God and to life itself. For us, as for Jacob, the only way we come to this is by holding on. I will not let you go. And in that moment, we discover that it's been the other way around all along. It's God saying to us, I will not let you go until you are blessed. What Jacob demonstrated in the wrestling match was the courage of faith. Courage, remember, isn't brute strength. The word means a mental or a moral strength to do the right thing and to persevere doing it. The great theologian Paul Tillich put courage at the very heart of faith. He wrote this, he said, doubt is not overcome by repression, but by courage. In other words, courage allows us to believe, to know that God is present, even when we're struggling with all of the hard questions of life. And even when we're frustrated because things haven't gone our way. The courage of faith allows us to grapple, but it does not allow us to get bogged down. We may be limping like Jacob, but we're moving on, and we're constantly being made new people because of it. One philosopher put it this way. He said, for a conscious being to exist is to change. To change is to mature, and to mature is to go on creating oneself endlessly. Don't let go. Don't stop growing. Jacob's struggle as an individual gave birth to the people of Israel. It seems to me that as Israel struggled with God, it becomes the task of the new Israel, the church, to do the same. A friend pointed me to a book that written a number of years ago called Jacob's Blessing, Dreams, Hopes, and Visions for the Church. And one of the authors, Donna Sinclair, is convinced that the story of the North American churches is intertwined with that of Jacob. As he struggled with himself and with God, so too are we, as communities of faith, struggling with our sense of self and our identity. Listen to what she wrote. She said, in what we used to happily call the mainline denominations, we struggle with the unknown in the darkness. While some congregations flourish, attendance is down in the majority, and gray heads predominate. Finances are slipping where large denominations once had the ear of leaders in government. The secular world now ignores these denominations, or with the exception of a few television shows, portrays them as quaint. Our members in this church are not of one mind. There are plenty of matters that divide us, sometimes even within this church. But like Jacob, we don't know how to name what's happening to us. We don't know if we're going to see daybreak. And we fear what tomorrow might bring. I think she's onto something. As we must come to grips deep inside ourselves as individuals relating to God, so must we, as God's gathered people in the church, do the same. It's God's will to bless us, and we can't allow ourselves to get caught up in issues that divide or trivialize the real issue here, and that's God's will for a loving relationship. Jacob wrestled, and so must we. But in the end, Jacob emerged renewed, and if we persevere, we will do the same. Sinclair says that Jacob's story assures us that blessing awaits us in the midst of the struggle. I would venture to say that struggle or change is not our most desirable of all experiences. However, if we are to become what we're called to become, we have to open ourselves with the courage of faith to the presence of God and enter into a struggle with ourselves and with God. In its 175 years, this church has known times of growth and times of decline. It's known struggle and change. It's known times of deep peace and times of sharp conflict. Through it all, the gathered people in this congregation has held on to the covenant promise of God. Whenever we come together in worship, we are reminded of God's will to bless us, to call us by a new name of love as children of the Heavenly Father. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he was acting with compassion. He saw people's need and he reached out to them. As we struggle with ourselves and with God, we must never fear that there won't be enough blessing to go around. God is willing to renew us and to bless us. It all begins when we hold on and determine that we won't let go until we're blessed. Amen.